It's just funny, that's all. The airline industry is a funny industry. Wow. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph. Bez Din HaGadol, the great Sanhedrin, Shador Shuba Achas Min Amidos, if they make a teaching based on one of the 13 principles, Kifi Mashinir Benem, Shadin Kach, V'donun Din. Let's say they said, you know, certain halacha should be in a certain way, and they deduce this from understanding the Torah in a certain way, and they judged a certain case in a certain way based on that. Okay. So they said, based on our understanding of the Torah, we came up with this Kal V'chomer, we came up with this Hekish, whatever, and therefore we say this is the halacha over here, and that's the law. Okay. V'amar achareim bezdin acher. Then comes along another Bezdin, years later, the same Bezdin, but it's just a few years later, right? And we'll see, be careful now, you have to notice lots of differences in the halachas here. Even if that Bezdin is not a greater Bezdin in wisdom or in number, for this particular case only. And another Bezdin comes along, V'nir lo tam acher li starso. They come up with a different logical deduction from the text that will totally contradict what the earlier court had said. Hareza Soser, it can overturn that judgment. Vidun Kivimashinir Bainov, and now they can judge now based on the way they see things now. In other words, if whatever the case is, you know, whatever we're learning today, you know, do women, is there a problem of women, can women shave their beards? Can women shave their beards? That was today's topic in Kiddushin. If a woman grows a beard, can she shave it with a razor? Man can't use a razor, right? Cannot use a razor. But are women included or excluded? It's a big discussion in the Gemara today. And you can learn a drasha this way, you can learn a drasha that way. Say they're permitted, prohibited. So what if one best says the way we understand the Torah, they should be allowed. And they possibly are allowed to. 10 years later, the Bezdin has different rabbis and the Bezdin not say, no, we say they can't.
And they can source it similar.
And they learn from the Torah a different source, different logic.
But this is the Sanhedrin of 71.
Yes. That's the only one who makes decisions of this nature. Right? They can go and overturn it. Shenemar, because the Torah says, you go to Vel HaShofet Asher B'Yemayim. You go to the judge who's in your days. So what do you mean in your days? Would you go to a judge that's not in your days? But we say in Chachad Lechas Ela Acher Bezin Shebedorach. You only have to go to the Bezin that's in your generation. In other words, it says Yiftach Bedoro Kishmul Bedoro. Yiftach was a leader of the Jews who was a great ignoramus. But guess what? Better follow him because that was the generation. On the other hand, Shmuel was an incredible tzaddik. It depends who you get. Whatever the generation gets, that's what you have. And you find, for example, you have Tanoim, later Tanoim would argue on earlier Tanoim, and Amoraim, who were later, would argue on earlier Amoraim. Okay? And you see they're able to do this. Right? You can come, because later on they can come with a clearer, they have a different understanding, and they can overrule an earlier generation. Now, you're going to ask a question we see in the Gemara many times, that when an Amora says something, we knock him off by saying that a Tana and the Mishnah said different than that, yeah. As if they don't have permission to argue on them, the commentaries say. We could say like that once the Mishnah was sealed and the Tanoic period ended, then they said that later generations cannot argue on the earlier generations. And the same thing when the Talmud was sealed. But before it was sealed, though, later generations Tanoim could argue on earlier generations Tanoim. Later generations Amoraim could argue on earlier generations Amoraim. In other words, when there were certain eras closed, then we say there's a total dissent in Torah understanding. But within an era which could last 200-300 years, then you could have a later ones will argue with that.
But don't we say the further away you are from Sinai, the less?
Well, yes and no. But you see from here that the generation says this is the way we understand it. And God has given us this opportunity. There isn't only one answer to any one question. When Moshe was up on that mountain for 40 days, what did Hashem, the Gemara, say? Show him. He showed him. For every bit of halacha, there's 49 ways to say the law one way and 49 ways to say the other way. So Moshe says, what are we going to do? God says, you know what? Let each court decide on their own what the law should be. Okay? In other words, there is ways to understand things both ways. They're both divine ways of understanding things.
Some of the 70 cases.
Well, sort of. So that's why Bez Din, as long as you're using divine wisdom to come up with your answer, then that's the way it goes in that generation. So this is strictly deducing from Torah, using principles that you can use. A later generation can overturn an earlier generation, even if they're not as great as that earlier generation. That's what we find in this type. We'll see this is not so in different types of rulings. But this specific ruling, it goes that way.
Which kind of ruling is this then?
No, you're going to see later, we're going to show you some other types of rulings. See, there's all types of rulings here, you'll see. As we go further, it'll become much clearer as we go further, you'll see. But this is clearly where they want to know what's the halacha. It says, let's go to the Torah. The way we analyze the Torah using certain principles of analysis, we come to this conclusion. 50 years later, a Bezin can analyze the problem, come to a different conclusion, and can overturn for this generation, not overturn, it's not a good word to use. Overturn means it's the same case. But we're gonna, in this generation, 50 years later, we'll say the law is the opposite. Not that the law was wrong earlier. The law is, well, then was the law then. And now the law is...
That doesn't affect, like if that previous...
This is not to be confused with, changing of moralities. Where 50 years ago, abortion was illegal and now it's legal. Because they're not going to Torah sources to decide if abortion is legal or not. This is what they feel like. The Rabbanim here are just making the decision on one criteria. We're trying to understand what the Torah says, and the way we understand what the principles that we have, we've come to this conclusion. And therefore, the law can be done differently. And, you know, even though, what do you mean? Was it Tameh or was it Torah? Well, 50 years ago it was Tameh. Now it's Torah. And they're both correct. And they can do that.
Does that apply still today? I mean...
We don't have a Sanhedrin today. We can't make these kinds of decisions.
So when,
this is only when we had a Sanhedrin.
When we learned Gemara, I mean, in the bigger, the huge volumes that you and Martin have, at the back of the actual
all kinds
the halacha is actually written. We finally paskin.
Well, the halacha was written by the Shulchan Aruch. That was his opinion. It doesn't carry the weight of a Sanhedrin. It was Rav Yosef Karos, was a great man. That was his opinion. There are those who argued on it. As we said yesterday, once there's no Sanhedrin anymore, then everything's open to debate. We're talking when there is a Sanhedrin that we listen to. That's the rule. Now, let's continue and see different types of things that Bezdin can decide.
Just clarify one thing.
Yeah.
If the party of the original judgment was still alive, that change in law wouldn't affect them. It would just be the new cases.
You can't overturn something of 20 years ago.
Right, so it's not overturned, it's just a new way of looking at it going forward.
The same type of case can be come out to a different conclusion. We can't say, okay, we're going to go back now 20 years, and we're going to now say not. Now, although technically maybe it could apply still, but it would be, you know, this is the whole thing with the Boaz Rus and the Gol Hadam. Where the one that was Rus a Moavi or not. Well, that one Bezdin can say she's not a Moavi, then a later generation can say descendants of Moabites, females, are not allowed to be. So that could possibly make changes for people, but only in that generation.
Oh, yeah.
But there could be changes.
Yeah.
A guy can say, oh, I'm a kosher Jew, I'm a Moabite that was converted 50 years ago. That Bezdin converted me. This one says, that's fine, but we don't accept it anymore.
Right.
So now all of you people are not going to be considered Jewish. So that could happen. Beis. Bezdin shegazru gzeira otiknu takona v'inhigu menhag uposhar hador v'choyishol. Let's say the Bezdin made a decree or instituted something, let's say a stringency or different things that they said we should start behaving in such a way. This is different than the first halacha. The first halacha says we're trying to decide halachas. We're trying to render decisions. We go to the Torah. This is where we understand the Torah. This is not the same thing. This is they say, you know what? We've decided it's a good thing that you shouldn't eat non-Jewish bread without supervision. Pasach, whatever. We're going to make a decree about muktzah. Whatever. And they go, we're going to make certain rulings. We're going to rule that you have to wash. These are not decrees. This is not going into the Torah and coming up with a halacha from the Torah. This is analyzing the time and figuring out the Jewish people need to conduct themselves in a certain way. Okay, that's a whole different type of power and decision making. And they made the decision and the custom was accepted. And Jews accepted what they ruled. The rabbi said, we got to do this from now on. We accept it, and people followed it, and they did it. The Omer Achrayim, and then 50 years later, whatever, Bez and Acher comes along, Ubikesh Levatal Dvorim HaRishonim. They say, you know what? We don't think this stringency is necessary anymore. The Lakar Osata Konen, to uproot that decree, the Osa Gzera, the Osa Minim, that custom, now you see it's going to be different. And a yachal, they're not able to uproot it. And she godel min harashonim, unless it's bigger than the earlier court, in two ways. Bechachma, in wisdom, meaning that the heads of them are much smarter people. It was clearly more brilliant scholarship. And also, but meaning also in number. More scholars. That, now you see, that's the difference. When it's a case where you're trying to paskin a halacha, and the halacha is based on how we understand the Torah text, a later generation, even not as great, if they have another legitimate understanding, that's the way they feel it's understood, they now can rule now differently on those cases. But if you have a court that it may instituted certain decrees, that's not analyzing the text. It's saying Judaism now needs Jews to do this. Or we have to stop doing this. Now, if a later court wants to do opposite, and also that decree was accepted and was spread and it was done. If a later court wants to, they can only do it if that's a greater court now. Now, in Godel Bechachma Volumi, what if they're bigger in intelligence but not in number? Or Beminion of Obelachachma, or greater in number and not in wisdom? Ain't a yokel of akolas for, if they can't nullify the words, it has to stay. That's the rule you're more familiar with that a later court cannot overturn. It means to change decrees. Now the obvious question, Rabbi says, how could it be bigger in number? A Sanhedrin's always 71. So the answer doesn't mean the Sanhedrin, it means the followers of the Sanhedrin. In other words, how many yeshivas were there? How many students were in yeshivas? Let's say in one generation we had 5,000 students learning full-time in Bavel place, or in Yerushalayim, right? And in the later generation, we have 10,000 students that are studying now. That means there's more scholarship, because there's more questions asked to these rabbis. That's what it means, greater number. Not the number in the Sanhedrin, that's static. But the scholastic body in the world is greater. Then they can only can overturn it.
That is how they translate. They say number of adherents.
Okay, good. Filu batal hat. Now, even more than this, let's say they gave an apparent reason why they made the decree in an earlier generation, and now that reason no longer applies. Now, we'll be a classic example of this. The Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, the second day of Yontif outside of Eretz Yisrael, or other reasons, not shaving a Chol Hamoed. That was clearly a rabbinic decree. And they gave a reason for it. Why? So you won't come to the holiday without preparing yourself properly. Because if you know you take a shave on Chol Hamoed, you won't take a shave before Yontif. We want you to come proper to the Yontif. Okay, now let's say those reasons don't apply anymore. Second day Yontif, the reason was word couldn't get out to the diaspora in time, so therefore we had to give them an extra day. Right? Well, that reason doesn't apply anymore. We know the lunar calendar now. We don't need to have any sightings. We have a fixed calendar. The reason doesn't apply anymore. People aren't going to look disgusting before Yontif, because in those days they didn't take a shave or a haircut once every 3 months. Now people shave every day. So the reason no longer applies. So he says, even afilu batal hatam shemgul gozri shona mosquito. Even if the original reason that the earlier court made this no longer applies, still enach gor nicham levatal. The later generation cannot nullify it. At you gedolim ahem, unless they would be greater than them.
So we don't get the whole thing. There's other mystical reasons we don't.
That's the whole point. That's the reason. Because when the rabbis give you the reason, they never gave you the full reason. They gave you the one you can digest.
And that's the only one that disappeared.
The deeper reasons are still around. Okay, so therefore.
Where does Rabbeinu Gershom fall into all this?
You can always institute new decrees. We're talking about revoking decrees.
No, for instituting you're saying it because it was widely accepted about polygamy and all that, or is that?
Well, then they made a Bezdin can make a decree now when there still was the power to. And listen, it would depend a lot if people would accept what he had to say. Right? Rabbeinu Gershom was a big rabbi. If people would not accept what he said, it wouldn't have taken.
And there wasn't a time limit? I heard it was a time limit.
Well, there's discussion about that as well. But again, he didn't have the same forces as Sanhedrin. People just said, you know what? It makes sense, and let's accept it.
And there's pockets of Jews that never knew about it. So
they, and they never accepted it. Some Sephardic communities didn't accept
it. The law of the lands.
This is not the same strength as we're talking about here. This is talking about real Sanhedrins. This would like totally, you couldn't do it. Over here, marrying an extra wife, technically, if a guy married an extra wife, we couldn't do anything to stop him. And Rabbeinu Gershom strongly advised people shouldn't do this. He was respected, and people accepted it. But it wasn't accepted as like a Sanhedrin saying to do this.
Right.
And if somebody would not listen to it, he would not be called a rebel. Okay, he'd be foolish, but not a rebel. Right? And that's why you find there's still some pockets of people who have more than one wife. It's not like they're going, you don't have any place, for example, where people say, we have chicken and milk. Chicken and milk is also rabbinic prohibition, right? Rabbinic prohibition. We get, we don't go with that one. Well, no, that was a real Sanhedrin decision, and therefore we have to stick with it. Rabbeinu Gershom, we can't have more than one wife now. That's very nice, Rabbeinu Gershom. We respect Jeff today. But if I feel that I want to have another wife, there's not a lot you could do to stop him. It would be unwise to go against what Rabbeinu Gershom says. But you don't have the kind of force. If a Bezdin, a Sanhedrin, said you couldn't marry another wife, then the guy'd be in big trouble if he did it.
Just one other, because it always bugs me. Medicine and Shabbos, that we're going to make roots.
Oh, that's a good example.
Because we're not usually going to go
so
back.
That's the whole point. So that's even though the reason doesn't apply anymore, you still have to keep it.
Pestle and mortar. Who's going to grind?
Why can't you take a pill? Why can't you take a pill on Shabbos if you're not deathly ill? Why can't you take a pill? Because maybe you'll grind the herbs to make the pills. Well, nobody does that anymore, right?
Right. That's a good example.
Doesn't matter. Even though the reason is not there anymore, we still have to keep it. We can't overturn that rule until a bigger court would come.
The other side of the coin is that health is more important.
Whatever. We don't have to go into the details. But that's what's happening. Now the source for this is incredibly interesting. What's the source that to rescind the law, you need a greater Bezdin to do this? So it seems that because the Torah said, Moshe said, be ready in 3 days, we're going to get the Torah, and you have to stay away from your wives. So that's like a decree.
Before
Torah, stay away from your wives. Don't touch your wife for 3 days. No intimacy. Before they got the Torah. Right? That was we'll call it a rabbinic decree. Right? Moshe told people not to do it. It was from Hashem, but he still told it, right? So now, he said for 3 days. So what do I understand? He said, stay away for 3 days. What do I understand after 3 days? They're okay, right? Still, once they got the Torah, right? Still in all, Hashem made a specific announcement, a pronouncement to Moshe, go and tell the people they can go back to their wives. My question is, why do they have to do that? Moshe said he only separates for 3 days. It becomes obvious once the Torah is given, you can go back, right? Here we learned that anything that was prohibited in a group needs another group to permit it afterwards, even if the reason is gone. See,
well, even if the time,
like it's like a rabbinic decree. It's a rabbinic decree. Stay away from your wives. Why? You have to be ready to get the Torah. Okay. So now, once you get the Torah, what? The reason is gone. Still, God had to make a directive. You can go back to your wives. It's like the later Bezdin coming, saying, now we overturn it, but we have to specifically rule that way, and God's a great, can do that. But, and even though the reason doesn't apply anymore. So that becomes kind of the role model that even if the rule doesn't apply anymore, you still, it's in force until it's overturned by a greater Bezdin. And certainly the Jewish people were a greater and smarter group after they got the Torah than before they got the Torah. So the adherence changed greatly in one day.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. We don't do that before Shavuos every day.
No, it was just that year. That's just an example of this rule being played out. All right? Now, this is the answer now. So Rabbi now asked the question that I already discussed.
Isn't there just the rabbi? What? Is it just to stay awake 3 days before Shavuot?
You don't have to stay awake.
No.
Some have a thing that maybe the chazan for Yom Noroim has to stay away. You have to stay away Shavuot night. Shavuot night, you stay away.
Yeah, but you're learning.
But you're learning anyways.
That's right. But some has chazanim, about tefillah for high holidays. Okay, maybe you have to be a little holier. But no.
It's in the contract.
But hey, so now we come to the question that we asked already, but I see the Rambam asked it here. How do you have a bigger number? Every best in 71, how do you have a bigger number? The answer is, these are the wise men of the generation that agree and accept and follow, or as you call them, adherence to what the great best in says, and they don't argue with them, but they listen to them. Gimel. Now, Bamed Varmavurim, when do we say that a Bezdin that's bigger than the one can nullify an earlier decree? Bidvarim Shalo Asro Sam Kidelasos Shagla Torah Ella Kishar Dine Torah. It's not talking about things that were done as fences around the Torah to protect the Torah. Alright, but rather like other, so not for those things, okay? Elikishar dinatar, all right? Other types of rulings that existed. Avot varim sharo bezin ligzor vela asram lasas yag. But if the bezin said we want to make a fence, okay? For example, what would be a good example of a fence? Let's continue first. In Pasha Yisurim B'chol Yisrael, if everyone accepted it and spread out, and it was accepted, Ein Bezin Godel Ach Yachal Akum Atir Afil HaYegodel Min Rishonim, a letter Bezin can never nullify it. Can never nullify it, even if they're greater than them. Okay? Now, so what was an example? They did it particularly as a fence. So I have to backtrack on what we said before. So certain ones, they make certain rulings of how people should have customs and like that. That can be overturned. But things that are done as fences. So the classic example is the prohibition of chicken and milk.
Yeah.
Chicken and milk is a fence. Only why? Because we don't have chicken and beef. Chicken and beef.
Milk
and beef. That's the biblical prohibition. The rabbis came up and said, listen, chicken and milk and chicken is also prohibited. That's a fence. So when they make a fence, fences, and if it was accepted by all the Jews, the fence, then another Bezdin cannot uproot and permit it, even if they're greater than the other generation. Okay? Because, and that's what many Gemaras tell us this. Even if Eliyahu Navi would come with a Bezdin later, he couldn't override that. And it's many countless words. So what can you override? Certain decrees that they made to do certain things, but not as a fence, but as a Jewish practice that should be done. A later generation could come and say, this Jewish practice should not be done. You know, again, let's say something like, you know, we'll see in a minute.
Like Ezra's takanas, maybe.
Yes, certain takanas. Yes, we know that the peddler should sell on Thursday. Or Ezra said you should go to the mikvah every time you are intimate with your wife. I'm just saying, you know, that, those are like decrees. That's not to keep you away. It's not a fence around an Avera, right? So it comes out like this. Fences around an Avera can never be overturned no matter what. No matter what, they cannot be overturned. But if they made a decree, we should start behaving in a certain fashion. We should take on a certain mitzvah.
Hand washing to
remember. Nitil Shadayim would be an example of that. That's not a decree. That's not a offense. If a later generation felt to take it off, they take it off. Again, not shaving a chol hamoed. Not shaving a chol hamoed. That's not offense. I don't think it's offense. They say they want to give more cover to the yontif. So if a later generation was bigger in number than that, then I guess they could overturn it. Okay. So that is the idea over there. Okay. Let's stop over here. That's a good place to stop. But there's a lot more to talk about. We're just scratching the surface.